Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The weekend election in Spain was expected to result in a Conservative majority, but the picture this morning is more confused, as it looks more like a hung parliament, with both the Conservative People's Party and the Socialists declaring victory. So where does this result leave Spain? What's going to happen next? I'm joined on the line now from Madrid by Sarah Morris, a freelance journalist in Spain. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
The polls look like they got it wrong, and Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez looks like he might have got it right in calling a snap election.
Indeed, what we should probably say is that in Spain, you can't publish polls beyond the Monday. And so, of course, we haven't seen all the data that those pollsters have been gathering in the last week. But it certainly looks as if they overestimated the performance of the People's Party and Vox. And the People's Party itself seems to have overestimated it, even talking to its supporters about the possibility of it being able to get close to that 176 magic number all on its own without Vox. And so it was a real surprise bombshell night when people began to see the count start. And there were moments even when the socialists were actually leading the count. And now it's finished up, basically, that the Conservatives have 136 seats compared to the socialists' 122 seats. But the People's Party, the Conservatives, don't have a lot of allies, unlike Pedro Sanchez. And so they really can only turn to Vox. And if they have Vox, then other potential allies won't go very near to them. It looks as if potentially Pedro Sanchez could try to form, stay in government and build a coalition. But his big problem is it looks as if he will need some sort of deal with the Catalan Nationalist Party together, which of course is that party that's led by Carlos Puigdemont, the man who declared independence of the northeastern region of Catalonia and then fled to Belgium. And we're absolutely sure that whatever Carlos Puigdemont demands, it may not be acceptable to Sanchez.
Let's go back to the far-right party, Vox, for one moment. They are one party that the polls appear to have predicted the strength of correctly, though, aren't they?
That's right, yes. The pollsters saw that Vox would lose seats, and it's lost 19 seats. But ironically, losing seats doesn't really matter. The pollsters had said if they could give the People's Party that absolute majority, it would have a lot of leverage. It would be able to say, we want ministers in the government. And that may still happen. The People's Party leader, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, is still out there. And his position is, we won the election. We won the most votes. We've never had a prime minister from the losing party, as he sees it. And so he's asking the socialists to facilitate his government. It's not something that the moment is seen as likely. And so we are very much in a deadlock position with, as you mentioned, the chance of another election.
What of Vox's future now this morning, this far-right party, if the Spanish people don't see them as potential kingmakers in future elections? Might they say, what on earth's the point in voting for this crowd?
Well, we certainly have seen in this election that a left-wing or a centrist voter, even a conservative voter that does not want the right-wing in the government, has been galvanised by the warnings that the far-right could enter the government. This is a country that does have within its living memory the memory of a far-right dictatorship under Francisco Franco. It only ended in the late 70s. And so it seems as if the Spaniards have decided they don't want the party in the central government. They are losing seats, but they are still important players in some of those regional governments after winning in the May elections, after winning seats and getting in with the People's Party. So it really depends on whether the Spaniards like what they're doing at a local level.
On the other side then, in getting the socialists into power, how much leverage does the Catalan Separatist Party have here, or would they want to be careful of not overplaying their hand?
Carlos Puigdemont doesn't seem someone who's worried about overplaying his hand because he voted against Pedro Sanchez last time round. Pedro Sanchez has been dialoguing with the other Catalan separatist parties that also led that independence bid. He's even pardoned some of those leaders that were sentenced by the Spanish courts. But Carlos Puigdemont, very much a hardliner. He has always said that he feels that independence was voted for, it was declared, and it should happen. So there is a potential for a deal, maybe with Pedro Sanchez, given those pardons. There's talk from Puigdemont's supporters of an amnesty and a referendum on independence. That's something that the socialists have always ruled out, but never say never given what's happened.
How long does the constitution give them to cobble together a government before there has to be another election?
The absolute key thing is that somebody must put themselves up as the potential prime minister. And there was a situation in Spain before where the numbers didn't add up. And nobody wanted to go and have egg on their face by making a speech and delivering a programme. And that is what sets the clock ticking. That then would set the clock ticking for 2 months. And if not, if there was no vote that was successful to approve one candidate, the parliament is automatically dissolved. The main date now is August the 17th when the parliament is formed, and then the King Felipe the 6th here, he starts having talks with all the various leaders, and after those talks he concludes who has the most chance of forming a government, and he asks them if they'd like to do so. So potentially we're going to have a protracted period of weeks or months, depending really on how the parties manoeuvre themselves.
Did this campaign leave everything on the pitch? Was everything aired, or would another election campaign in 2 months' time really just be a repeat?
In some ways, this was a campaign that degenerated into talk about who had the most dangerous friends, because the Conservatives and the far right painted Pedro Sanchez and the Socialists as having a Frankenstein coalition, that they were backed by terrorists and separatists. And Pedro Sanchez painted his rivals as far-right, a throwback to the darker times, clearly alluding to the dictatorship. Policies were discussed. There was a lot of discussion, particularly because Vox promised to do away, for instance, with the specialist courts that deal with what the Spaniards call gender violence. They don't use the term domestic violence, but there are specialist courts to deal with that. And it seemed very much in Spain there's a consensus that is a society problem, that too many women are killed by their partners or ex-partners. Vox wanted to do away with those courts. And so there was a discussion about real policies and issues, but there may be a feeling that now that the voters have seen the cards on the table, seen how things have fallen, that they could change their mind in a second election. But this has happened before, and the Spaniards, frankly, are pretty fatigued. After 2015, 2016, they had a deadlock, and they had another deadlock in 2019 with two elections.
Oh dear. OK, well, we'll watch this space over the course of the next 2 months then. Sarah Morris, freelance journalist in Spain, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, we are going to continue our beginner's guide to the best musicians of all time.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.